Well, welcome to this episode of the Justice Team Podcast. So we're going to talk about stuff that all you listeners want to know about is how to make some fucking money on the internet, how to make some money. And just a true confession, I just absolutely crushed a Carl's Jr. kid's cheeseburger delivered to me by DoorDash. We have no partnership with DoorDash nor Carl's Jr., but if you're listening, I sure love you both. So we have an amazing panel today of specialists in SEO, but specialists in the SEO space for lawyers specifically. So first and foremost, we're going to introduce you to Maria Monroy, who is the co-founder of LawRank. And LawRank does everything from websites to digital marketing presence for lawyers across the country. So Maria, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
Awesome. So I'm Maria Monroy. I'm the president and co-founder of LawRank. My husband is the other co-founder. I got to give him a shout out. And you can reach me by email, maria@lawrank.com, and follow me on Instagram, Maria LawRank.
And Maria does a lot of education for lawyers, does some stuff for TBI Med Legal, goes to conferences, as do everybody else here, to educate folks on best practices and how to use it. And one thing that Maria also does is she is a native Spanish speaker. So a lot of digital marketing in Spanish, which I think is a niche that is underserved.
Yes, we specialize in Spanish SEO as well.
Perfect. And of course, we have the person who loves SEO, and he loves it so much, he wears a shirt that says he loves SEO that I see all the time on Instagram. And we have Mr. Jason Hennessy. Jason, is Hennessy your real last name? Because that's a really fucking cool last name, I got to tell you.
It is. Yeah, I've been born with it. You know, I'm in just about every rap song. It's awesome. So Bob, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. If you want to find out about us, you can find me where we met at my OnlyFans account, Bob.
Your handle is very weird. It's not I love SEO on OnlyFans.
No, it's not. It's a little different there. Yeah. So. Now I have a company called Hennessy Digital, and this is an amazing panel. Like I'm like, you know, if there was two other people that I would choose to do my own SEO, it'd be these other two colleagues here. So you've got a good group here.
Yeah. And I think you guys, the reason we selected three of you, honestly, is you guys do the best in the world at legal digital marketing. So we wanted to give our listeners and viewers an array of talent and options if they want to get into this space. So last and certainly not least, we have Chris Hypnotic. Wait, that's not your last name. That'd be cool if it was, though. Chris Dreyer, who's with Rankings.io. So, Chris, tell us about your company, a little bit what you do and how people can reach you.
Yeah, so Chris Dreyer, not Hypnotic, not Washer, Chris Dreyer. So I own Rankings.io. We help personal injury attorneys dominate first page rankings with SEO. So super niche, very talented panel, like Jason said, that you know can help everyone with Google search engine optimization.
So what is .io? I always wondered, why is it .io?
So the truth is, I would love to buy the .com, but it was like $2 million. And so I settled with the .io just to be different. But so we'll see if we can get the .com in the future. It means input, output, or Indian Ocean. It's what a lot of SaaS companies use. And we just picked it up. Short, two characters.
What's a SaaS?
Software as a service.
I thought you were getting sassy on us. Sassy on us. So, Maria, why don't you walk us through whenever you have a client come to you, a lawyer, a law firm, regardless of the size, what are your first, you know, recommendations to them for investment? Where do they start? Is it a website? And how long of an investment do you actually have to do in order to see return?
Most of the time, definitely a new website. There are some exceptions, but the way that the websites are coded can impact SEO. And that's one of the things that we also specialize in. As far as SEO goes, and we talk about a time frame, it really depends. We only work with PI, criminal defense, and family law. In PI, it's much more competitive, and depending on the size of the market. So if we're looking at a top five metro, you're really looking at a 18 to 24 month commitment to really maximize the ROI from SEO. Typically, our recommendation, and again, it depends, but it's going to be to do a diagnostic and really, I like to compare SEO to credit. So you could be an 18-year-old that no one trusts, but nobody distrusts you, but you know, we're iffy, right? or you could be someone with really bad credit or someone that has a 700 score. So we want to understand what's your starting point. And that's when we do a deep dive and we look at different factors and kind of go from there.
Yeah. So Jason, what other things other than a website can a lawyer use or leverage with SEO or digital marketing?
Well, you know, not so much just with a website, but, you know, one thing is getting the traffic to the website, right? And I think that's what our agencies are all specialized in. But the other part of it is converting the traffic that's coming to the website, right? You can make slight little changes to the way in which a mobile pops up, you know, so that the phone number is bright red at the top and it's always there as you're scrolling, right? Like we've done like experiments like that where you've got a law firm that's getting a heavy volume of phone calls and you just make that little change and now it increases their phone calls by 15, 20% for the month, right? You know, chat is another thing that law firms are leveraging. You know, you have to be careful with that because some of the chat companies are incentivized by, you know, getting more chats. That's how they make money. But in some cases,
what do you mean by chats? Educate us on that.
So like a chat is on a website, right? Where instead of calling, there's like a live operator or some kind of a bot that's going to answer a response like, hey, you know, they want to get your basic information and turn that and visit into a lead, right? And so you'll see that on desktop sites, but then you'll also see it on mobile sites. And so in some cases, if you're not careful, some of these chat companies will basically cover the phone number with like a chat pop-up, right? And so when that happens, you know, now you're wondering, why am I not getting so many phone calls, but my chats are like through the roof? You're thinking that chat is working very well. And so you just have to be careful of that. Like personally, I prefer to shut chat off on mobile and just get people to just have one direct response, which is a phone call. So,
yeah. And Chris, what do you think about, you know, the AI chatbots and lead conversions? You know, is it something that's getting more popular that the consumer wants and expects, or is it still the good old phone call?
So I'll tell you, I'm like the typical millennial. If you call me, I'm not answering. If you leave a voicemail, I'm probably not listening to voicemail. But if you text me, like I'm right there. So I like as many conversion opportunities as possible. And like Jason said, some of them can definitely hurt you. They can help hurt you from an SEO perspective and slow down your site, slow down your ability to rank. But I still like those capabilities who don't want human contact. Where you mentioned early in the podcast that everyone goes to conferences. Everyone knows here, I don't go to conferences much. I'm more of the virtual type of person. So these texts and very quick outlets, very connected outlets work well for me, like text and live chat.
Yeah. And I text. I actually think phone calls out of the blue are fucking rude. Like text me. Yeah, sure. But my people always say, hey, your voicemail's full. Yeah, it's full intentionally. It's been full since like 2015. But Maria, I've heard you talk about this, and I think it's very good for listeners to do what you call an audit. Like who's actually answering your phones, right? You have law firms actually call their law firm and see what their intake is like. Can you kind of walk us through that?
So that's not part of our initial diagnostic. Although we have, part of the problem is, and I think Jason and Chris are going to agree with me here, there's only so much we can do. We can get you on the first page, we can get you in the local pack, we can get the phone to ring, but if you're not handling intake properly, the foundation isn't there. So it's kind of like the gym. You're not going to up the weight if you don't have the form right. You're just going to get hurt. Same thing, you're getting hurt. If your intake isn't where it needs to be, you're suffering. And the funny thing is every single time everyone tells me, oh, my intake's great. When's the last time you listened? Listened. I don't have time for that. What? But then I talked to a firm the other day where a managing partner only listens to intake. That's his only job. And I was like, Okay, this sounds like a good fit for us. So yeah, intake it's a big deal.
I personally don't do any intake unless it's by text or email. I mean, that's just... Wow. Like, but Maria, like, or anybody here, when you have a client or law firms come in and you have them ranking well, do you then have recommendations for them for intake or call centers? Is it a whole concierge service that you guys offer? I see Jason's eyes lighting up. No.
Yeah. Well, the reason I light up is because, like, when you hire companies like us, we, our job is to create intake problems, right? That's our job, right? And we've known to do that, right? You know, so much so that in some cases, like, sometimes clients aren't even prepared for the growth that they're going to get, right? It might not happen after month one or month three, but, you know, come month 12, right? You know, if they still got the same three people answering the phone after, like, an aggressive SEO campaign, you know, we create those problems. In fact, we ran a study because one of our clients was, you know, questioning, like, how come these leads aren't turning into cases, right? And so we're like, well, let's look into this. And so we're like, you know, we planted a lead in their intake, like a real good lead, right? And thinking they would call us back in an hour, and they didn't. And, like, literally they didn't call us back at all, right? So that inspired us to do a whole study where we reached out to over 700 firms and we planted a lead. And there was like 150 firms that got back to us within 10 minutes. And we sent them all awards and plaques and stuff to kind of congratulate their intake. But 40% of the firms that we reached out to didn't even respond back to the lead, right? So a lot of money is being left on the table, right? After spending all this money on marketing.
Was this a contact submission form? Sorry.
It was. It was a contact submission form at like 10 o'clock in the morning on like a Tuesday or Monday. It was like, yeah.
Well, were you the one that said that, you know, you were paralyzed due to a Home Depot accident and you needed $400,000 and your statute is up tomorrow? Because I get plenty of those. Those fake intakes. But there's a guy that's been doing that's been scamming a lot of lawyers. They give him like a loan. It's so silly.
But that is Jason.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It's always the same guy. Like, that's like, there's like, he's gonna set a sting operation, but people fall for it. Whatever it is, what it is. Yeah. So, Chris, talk to me about I've heard you discuss many times is, you know, Google changes their algorithms. It's different for how you're going to rank and, you know, the geographic stuff that they're doing, and they change it constantly. So how do you guys stay on top of that? How important is it? And, like, does Google let you know in the future when they're going to do these things and you have to change gears and switch gears?
It's a big question. So the truth is it takes extreme focus to really do this well. You've got to monitor it. You've got to, the SEMrush has some tools based upon volatility. You've got to be constantly adjusting. But on the other side too, the foundational stuff has longevity. If you optimize a page right, if it's good content, if you're playing in the right neighborhoods to acquire links. So there are things that may ebb and flow in terms of the, you know, the signal. Like, nowadays they're putting more emphasis on proximity, right? Or they're putting more emphasis on load speed and things like that. So some of those have more authority and more weight, but you constantly got to be testing. You constantly got to be improving, and it is evolving, but the foundation will do most of that for you.
Yeah. And Brie, how important is the geographic concern when you're ranking somebody? Like, where they are physically, where their physical office is. Sometimes I hear lawyers that they need to have an office in a certain location physically there in order for Google to recognize they have an office so that they rank there geographically or locally. Is that a thing?
It's more important with local than with anything. So when we're talking about SEO, we break it down into two components. There's local SEO, which is the 3-pack, map pack. Google, it has different names, but it's basically where you see the map and the 3 Google My Business listings. That's local SEO. That has to be a physical staffed location. And now people try to get cute and get virtual addresses and, you know, share locations. We see all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, I like to be really extreme. What I tell people, they're like, oh, can I share with this family law firm friend? They'll let me send a Google postcard. Well, would Walmart and Target share a location? No, they wouldn't. So just take it to the extreme, and that's your answer. Because, like Chris mentioned, or the way that I hear when, you know, Chris talks, it's like, it's not about cheating the algorithm anymore. It's just give Google what it wants, right? And it's odd, and I get it, COVID has changed things, but it's odd if you're a law firm that doesn't have an office.
Yeah. I think a lot of law firms are going that way, though. I know a lot of lawyers that never go into the office anymore.
Totally.
And what does Google want for those lawyers?
Like, it'll be interesting to see. And I'm excited to see how it changes, because you see more exceptions, at least we do in like New York City, where it's so expensive to have an office and people are more likely to share locations. You see Google's algorithm, at least for the local pack, it's not as strict. It's still not ideal, but you see those exceptions. So I definitely think the world is changing, and I think we would all love it if we could just rank virtual locations. I mean, it would make our jobs so much easier because it's tough. Go ahead.
What is Google Verify? I hear lawyers say, I got to get Google verified. What is that? And does that apply to what you're doing?
That's local service ads. We don't manage local service ads. I don't know if Chris or Jason do. They can answer that.
I can kind of jump in here. It's local service ads is more difficult to manipulate than like pay-per-click and SEO, where you can increase your budget. Now, local service ads is based upon region, response, and review, right? So you need if you look at 100 local service ads right now, 99 of them are not set up right. They're not. In terms, let's take each one. Region, that's proximity. So that has to do with your physical location, all those different variables, and how you put in the setup, you know, a zip code or your information in the database. So if you just pick, you know, the state of Texas versus the individual zip codes, you want to give Google more information. The second one is reviews. Well, in order to get reviews, you have to have activity. And response, in order to get response and be seen, you have to have activity. So a lot of times the mistake that most attorneys make, especially in the personal injury space, is they'll start and they'll narrow their categories. They'll just do car, motorcycle, and truck. They'll do like three categories. But you can't get the activity in order to rank and gain placement. So you need to start really broad, do your 12 categories. Then when you start to get placement, you can get more narrow. Now, obviously, pain and suffering and some of these categories are just, you're going to get a lot of junk leads. There's just no way around it. But you need those in order to get the activity and the reviews. And maybe you guys have some different opinions, but that's just what we've seen.
And question for you, and I want to talk to Marie after that about the actual reviews and how important reviews are. But Jason, what are some like practical things that lawyers should know when they're creating content or having things that they're putting onto their websites that will help them rank, or things that they can individually do? I've heard things like blogs or, you know, tying in together with .orgs and things. What are some things that lawyers should be doing?
Yeah, I think you have to have a strategy, right? I think a lot of law firms are operating without strategy. You know, they go to a conference and they hear, oh, you know, listen to people like Chris and Maria and myself speak on a stage or on a panel. And it's like, content is really important. And then their takeaway is to go hire a content writer, right? And then they hire the content writer and they just start publishing 4 blog posts a month. And, you know, and they start to do more damage to their website than getting the benefit, right? Because if you start publishing too much content that's optimized for a certain keyword, the site starts to get cannibalized and you don't rank for things, right? Or, you know, the content that they're publishing, like, one of the things that I always like to say is take a law firm and just go to your website and read your content. And would you hire your own firm, you know, after reading your content, right? Go to your car accident lawyer page. And does the page start out with statistics, right? Does that really satisfy the intent of somebody that was involved in a car accident where maybe like their son or daughter is in a hospital for like 2 months and they can't afford medical bills, right? You know, is there, you know, anyway, so there's things like that, just like the basic stuff of just matching searcher intent.
Hey, can we hand over, like, how much service do you guys provide at your companies? Is it, will you do everything? Will you do the writing, getting blogs or writing pages or writing content so it constantly ranks? Like how much, and I've heard frustration from lawyers to say, I hired an SEO company and they wanted me to do all this stuff. Like, I don't have time to do this stuff. I see Maria shaking her head. Like,
yeah, that's
like,
ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know how else to put it. Because at this point in time, I think it'd be very, very difficult for even a lawyer to do their own SEO. Back in the day, I think it was more doable. But now if you don't have multiple projects that you're testing and tracking and you know what the strategy, every strategy is going to be different, but you have a good foundation of what you're going to need, right? And yeah, we absolutely do everything from writing the content to on-site, off-site. All of our content producers are attorneys or JDs. Our editors are attorneys. So we have super high quality content.
It comes down to, it really comes down to two things, Bob, right? So like, it's either time versus money, right? So like, if you have a law firm, right, that wants to save money on SEO and only spend $3,000 a month, right, you're not going to get like companies like us that's going to write content for you for that price, right? We would be losing money if we did, right? So in that case, if you're spending $3,000 per month, well, instead of spending the money on SEO, well, you're going to have to invest your time in writing the content, right? So I could see the argument, right? But it really comes down to those two things.
Yeah. And Jason, I've seen case study of like one very well-known national lawyer who just exploded onto the scene. Like he was everywhere. He's popping up my Instagram, on Google, on TV and everything. And like, how were you able to, I don't know if you can name the individual, but it went like a meteoric rise of ranking first everywhere for everything. Like what was the secret sauce to do that?
So it really came down to a couple things. First, this firm basically ignored technical SEO. They didn't really have an SEO strategy. They had a website, right? So the first thing was going in, and to Maria's point earlier, fixing all of the technical aspects of the website, giving Google a way to like basically crawl the website without any errors. The second thing is we put together a very aggressive content strategy, right? So we were publishing 400,000 words of content every month.
Wait, what? How do you do that?
400,000 words of content every single month, right? It's just—
Do that, like what, you just fucking sitting at a computer writing all the time? Like that seems obscene to me.
It is, right? But the thing is they wanted to go national, right? And so if you want to go national, you need a Tampa car accident lawyer page. You need a Miami, you need a Dallas, Texas, a Los Angeles, right? In order to rank for those terms, you have to have pages that you're going to nominate for those terms, right? So that's why we went way aggressive. And so once you do that, now you're starting to build kind of like a Wikipedia within the website, right? Where you're internally linking pages and the site becomes stronger and stronger. And then the third piece of that, this attorney, you know, caught lightning in a bottle because he started to get a lot of these high profile civil rights cases, right? And as a result of that, you start to get all these natural links and mentions and citations coming in from Huffington Post and CNN and Microsoft and this and that, right? And so when you start to get all three of those, that becomes the perfect trifecta in the world of SEO, right? And so that's how a site really starts to accelerate. Like,
and then how much do you like, well, Maria, I wanted to get back to this because I think it's very important for lawyers practically to do, they have to be doing reviews. They should be doing reviews. Tell us how they should be doing them and what they should be looking for.
I mean, at this point, just get reviews. I feel like it's such a fight. It's like, how can I help? What can I do to help? Just get reviews. Like that should be your number one priority. There are different ways of doing it. I'll tell you how not to do it. Don't buy fake reviews.
Yeah, I've seen these lawyers that have like 10,000 reviews in like a new law firm. Like, oh, come on, guy. Right. Mm.
Yeah, you don't want to risk a suspension. Because the thing is, if you're ranking in the local pack within a 1 mile radius, you're going to be getting phone calls. You're going to be signing cases up. And if that gets suspended, you're going to feel the pain. We've seen it happen. It's really painful. So that's number one. Number two, don't have people leave you reviews from your computer at the office. Have them use their cell phone. It's the most natural thing to do. You're at a restaurant, you're either pissed off or you had great service, you're waiting for the check, you leave a review. That's just normal, natural, from your cell phone. The next one is, I hear this all the time, oh, well, they didn't have a Gmail. Because at the end of the day, all we really care about are GMB reviews. Okay, a lot of people don't have a Gmail. Every single competitor is having the same issue. Don't worry about that. Who cares? Some people aren't going to have it, right? Ideally, you get some keywords in there. So, you know, I was traveling in Vegas and looking for a personal injury lawyer. Those are a little bit more difficult and obviously don't go crazy, but any sort of key term in the...
So the key term, there's keywords within reviews that help your rank. Wow, I did not know this.
Yeah. But if you respond to a review and you put keywords in it, because you're supposed to respond to every single review that comes in, Google doesn't look at your keywords in your response.
Oh, okay.
On that too. So there's a couple prominent firms that do like giveaways and things to get reviews, but then you look at their local results, then maybe they aren't as good as they could be because they're talking about their backpacks or their, or whatever, to get these reviews for the relevancy. The relevancy is entirely off. And now, just to add to kind of Maria, like anytime you want more of something, you can incentivize a behavior at the firm. So you don't want to pay for reviews, but you can actually pay your team to do that behavior and be more, you know, hey, it's important for the business to get these reviews. We're going to give you $200 anytime one of your clients signs up and does a review. Well, automatically, you're just going to start getting more reviews because they're incentivized to do it.
And I had like, so we started to do, because we, you know, we'd like it to do a Shopify store for our firm, just putting funny stuff on swag. So what we started doing is when we have our reviews go out to our clients, we just text them a link and says, here's $200 to shop in our store. Please leave us a review, right? And then they are become a walking billboard for you with a call to action. I was talking to Maria about this too. Actually, your husband and I were talking for a long time about this. We're actually talking about the metaverse, which is very wild. Maria's husband and I talked for an hour about, maybe we should talk about it because it could get very like.
And I'm in that convo.
Chris, I want to hear your thoughts because it's, to me, you know, like Instagram tells me what I want when I'm looking at stories and it's stuff that I want, I'll buy it. So if people are in the metaverse, are they going to get like direct ads for stuff that they want when they're in the metaverse? I mean, it could get wild. Get wild.
Yeah. I was more, when we're talking about metaverse, I was immediately just thinking crypto. But, you know, I look at all of these different opportunities where people congregate. Like if individuals are congregating on the metaverse, there will be ads. It's inevitable if people start congregating there. So who knows the monetization strategy, but that's what's happened with Facebook at the very beginning. Their monetization strategy was really poor. And your organic posts, when you did a natural social media post, you would show up in the feed every time. But automatically, it's like less and less and less. You got to have something really viral to show up organically. It's pay to play. And I think that's how all these platforms start. I mean, look at them. Look at TikTok right now. Your reach for a post is insane. But the more saturation there is, it's just not going to be the same.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Jason, do you also have like a PPC or pay-per-click, whatever it's called? Do you do those strategies too for your customers? Does that work? What's that look like?
We do, you know, that's personally, like, it's one of those things, right? Like, it's like back in college, you figure out what you want to do and you kind of go that course. Like, I think all three of us kind of went the course of SEO, right? I'm not as advanced at pay-per-click, but we have people on our team that are. But one problem that I see firms make is they separate. It's like, hey, I've got this agency that's doing pay-per-click and I've got this other agency that's doing organic, and they silo it and they don't allow the two to communicate together. Right. And I think that's a disadvantage that they're providing to their self, right? Because the data that they're getting from pay-per-click, if they're seeing keywords that are converting, that should also feed into their SEO strategy and vice versa. Right. So like we play very well with other pay-per-click companies if we're doing SEO. But one thing that we like to fight for is, okay, let us all kind of look at the data together for the client's advantage, right? And sometimes agencies are not so giving in terms of letting you have that transparency. And I think that, again, becomes a disadvantage to the client.
Yeah, and Maria, you have a lot of clients across the nation. I know you live in SoCal, but you travel a lot, but a lot of your clients are actually in Florida and other places. Are there different SEO strategies depending on where your clients are?
Every market is different. So whenever we go into a market, we have to look at the competitors because your competitors set the tone. So there are markets that you would never think would be so competitive, but they're just as competitive as a major metro. And the strategy, you can't have, I call it a, like a checklist or a task-based agency. It can't be just purely a checklist. Of course, we have checklists, right? But every single project is different and every firm is different. Some firms are like, I don't want a MetaMail case. Some firms are like, I want every MetaMail case possible. So you have to tweak it, especially initially for the firm.
Wow, yeah. So Chris, with yours, do you have any like your case studies of current or past customers that you're able to show how much their business grew by doing the plan that you outlined for them, right? Did you have tangible data?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of our large clients in Houston. I mean, they started with, I think, 20 employees, and now I think they're up to about 150 employees, and their case intake. Now they take a broad range of injury, right? They take the very minor injuries. And I work with some clients where their case selection criteria is very high. So they take, you know, not very many cases, but they're worth a lot. So it's different. We've had a lot of success in many markets, but it's kind of what everyone's saying here. And one of the things I wanted to circle back, you know, Jason mentioned 400,000 words and we talked about investment. The three people on this panel, especially when we're talking in these competitive areas, you're not going to see a $5,000 a month retainer. Unless there's this expectations like, hey, you want to do the foundation stuff and know that you're setting yourself in the future when you're ready to move into a market. You know, so many attorneys, they look at, you know, TV, you got to saturate a market. You want to do daytime television, you're going to have to spend at least 100K in most markets, you know, or radio, you have to saturate it for a brand. The misconception is SEO, you can spend $5,000 and think that you're going to get results. It's not the same. It's saturated and you have to put a tremendous amount of production into it to get results.
And that's why SEOs have such a bad name, right? Is because there's so many agencies out there that will say yes to 5,000, right? And mismanage the expectations and not deliver the results and use the same excuse that we all use, right? That SEO takes time, right? Because that's an excuse that every SEO, even the ones that are actually good at what they do. So we all use that same excuse.
Well, for us, it's a reason. For them, it's an excuse. That's what I would argue. And none of us here are inexpensive because we're ethical. It's, we can't, give me $5,000 and, oh, Houston, $5,000. Good luck. Like, I can't do it on $5,000. Even if I'm... all the $5,000 goes towards the project, it's not possible.
Well, it's hard. Like, you know, Chris mentioned you don't go to the conferences, but Maria, I see you at conferences all the time, right? Like, it would be very uncomfortable to walk around those conferences knowing that you burn 20% of the people that are there, right? You know?
And some agencies do. I mean, and that's just the reality, right? And it sucks because it's almost like the ex-girlfriend that cheated on you and like you're upset at the new girlfriend and it's like, hey dude, I haven't done anything, like chill out. It's the same thing. It's like, I get it. I get that everyone lied and, you know, set the wrong expectations and you're so jaded at that point and it's tough.
But the sad part is that the lawyers are not educated to even understand like the excuses or like, you know what I mean? Like, cause any SEO can build a story that, hey, I lowered your bounce rate this month and it's a win, right? You can always come up with some kind of a win, right? And so to a client, like, you know, they just don't know, right? So they're just uneducated and it's a scary, it really is. It's a scary world out there. If, you know.
Yeah. What's, you've heard of the iron triangle, right? My terrible finger triangle here. You can have something, you can have two of the three, you can have good, fast, or cheap, but you can only have two. So you have good and fast, but it's expensive. You can have fast and cheap, but it's not good. That's how it is with SEO. You want to go Fiverr, gig it up, you're not going to rank. But you can get it. It's cheap. It's fast. You're just not going to rank.
And I think that's what everyone that's listening needs to take away. If you're being quoted under 10 in most markets, and I'm being like cheap, run. Like, it's just, it's not going to work. And it's funny because sometimes I think that lawyers feel like, well, I have to do something. So I hear you, but I have $3,000 a month to burn. What should I do with it? That's a completely different conversation. But don't think that that $3,000 is going to do anything for you, because with SEO, it's winner takes all.
My recommendation is go try to get LSAs and call other attorneys that will basically kick you back some of their overflow, right? You know, yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Like a lot of people, like Chris mentioned the one person, and I think I know who it is, the one out of Houston, and they give us a lot of cases because they sign them up. And when because I have offices in Texas and California, and I like their leads because they come and I can see them and organize them very quickly and easily. But have all of you been up to breast in like in Arizona, they're in the sandbox and they're allowing non-lawyers to own a 100% of law firms. So I think that there's going to be an arms race in the future where there's just going to be very large firms, which may not even have lawyers in them. Well, they have lawyers.
It's not even that. It's now you've got, like, I've got private equity people reaching out to me on a monthly basis, like wanting to give me $15, $20 million to get aggressive with those Arizona firms, right? You know what I mean? And so it's going to get real interesting.
I think the ego's there for us. I know every SEO specialist, like that's the market I want. Just from like a status perspective, that's going to be the Super Bowl. And I want in it, right? So I'm in the same, you know, I'm having those conversations too, because I want to compete, but it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, and that's what, like, because I, you know, trying to stay up to breast of this, because, you know, with the Justice HQ we have going on, it's like the perfect synergy for the overflow to have attorney specialists on contract that are solos or small firms all under the same roof on the same platform. So it could be a perfect place for, if you dominate the SEO or digital marketing in Arizona, you could push it right through and have an ethical fee split from Jump Street. So I do think in the future, it's going to be winner take all, and it'll be like whoever has the best digital marketing front end concierge service and can streamline to where it goes is going to win, right? But it'll be interesting. So, where do you think the next domino? Because it's Arizona, and I think Utah has something similar.
Utah as well. Mm-hmm. Those two.
Yes. I mean, I'd be interested just to hear, you know, first, Maria, what do you think is the future of digital marketing and SEO?
I don't know. Everyone keeps saying SEO is dead, but every time I look at CallRail, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely not dead. So I don't know. I think that if Google really went on all paid first page, it wouldn't be Google anymore, right? The whole point is that the algorithm, it's organic. Now they're a business, so they're going to monetize it. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the metaverse, but I don't know. I don't know.
Do you send any of your clients to like Bing, Ask Jeeves, or DuckDuckGo, or is it just Google?
Google. No, we focus on Google because you can't please three algorithms at once. I mean, but naturally, if you rank in Google, you're also going to get, we see it. I mean, I'm sure you guys see it. You see the Yahoo, the Bing. So, but no, we focus on Google.
Some computers, like, they default your opening browser is Bing. Like when I got my Surface Pro and I had to like try to switch it.
Did you switch it? Did you switch it though, Bob?
Well, there's certain things like, you know, like with Bing, like there's just different variables that Bing looks at and assigns more weight than like Google, right? You know, so like one of the things I noticed, and it's been like this for years, like an exact match domain. Like if you have an exact match domain, so if it's like Los Angeles car accident lawyer, right, and you own that domain, Google tends to favor Bing tends to favor exact match domains rather than Google might not, you know, weigh that as high as it used to weigh that, right? So there are variables that are different.
Yeah. Have you ever done any case studies or to see if certain demographics use different search engines more, or is it just more Google? I see Chris shaking his head.
It's in analytics.
The net worth is typically higher on Bing.
Really?
And that's a bad thing, I guess, for personal injury lawyers, right? You know, I mean, maybe, right?
Yeah, that's strange. Why is that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. Does anyone know that?
Well, I think it's more seniors, right? Because they get a computer, right? And it had set as a default to Bing. Right. And they don't know how to change it. And those are the people that are retired. And, you know, like, I think that's probably why, if the data.
That's a good theory. You know, and it's attention arbitrage too, right? For digital. So back in the day, pay-per-click was cheap. Facebook ads were cheap. Everybody goes and uses them. Prices drive it up. Everyone goes to Google screen, local service ads. If you were one of those early adopters, you made out like a bandit. Well, now it's harder. And maybe people congregate to the metaverse and you're an early person there and you're getting gangbusters return, but then you're going to have to change to where attention changes, where it shifts.
That's exactly right.
Maria, have you ever done any analysis to see, you know, where the Hispanic consumer, how they search and how they find lawyers? Is it different? Is it the same? What does that look like?
As far as which search engines they use, no. I know that it depends on obviously the way that the key term, right? And depending on where they're from, they might use like carro instead of auto. Like they might use different permutations of the word. We're super passionate about it because they're amazing clients. So what we hear from our clients is we love the Hispanic community. And I mean, I'm from Mexico. My husband's from Chile. So obviously that's like a big we want to serve as the Hispanic community. So that, I don't know, we're passionate about it. But yeah, he would be better. I almost had him do the podcast because I feel like he can get more technical with Jason and Chris, whereas I feel like I'm just like the face of the company versus the one actually doing the work. But
see, we're similar. All of our team like speaks lorem ipsum, and so we're specialists in lorem ipsum websites.
Wow. Well, we are we're running out of time here, you know, and we've had a great discussion. I feel like we could do two or three of these type of episodes, but you know, everybody gave their contact information. I encourage everybody to reach out, and if you're willing to invest, it is an investment in your firm and your future. And if you have a very good digital footprint and SEO and rankings, you can automate your firm better, have a better quality of life because you have that all coming in. But you have to be consistent. You have to have somebody that knows what they're doing, and you have to make the investment. Right. So any, Jason, any parting words? We'll go around the table here for our listeners and viewers. Any tips or parting words for our listeners and viewers?
I think the biggest thing is like, you know, a lot of times people go to these conferences, they take very copious notes and then they lack taking action. Right. So I think, you know, if there was one thing that you wrote down from this, you know, webinar, one little tip, put a circle next to it, asterisk, and then just go take action. Maybe it's just responding to the reviews or incentivizing your team to go get more reviews. So that's always my big takeaway is taking action.
All right, Chris, you're up, buddy.
I'm going to sound like Grant Cardone here. So either you love him or hate him. But if you want to do content marketing or SEO, you can't play around. Like you're just going to be treading water. You got to go in. You got to be willing to go in. You got to have a team that can get it done and execute on volume that is also quality based. So that's what you got to do. You got to 10X.
Man. Well, we will not be seeing Chris in conferences, just so you know. You can find him just on text message and in the metaverse. So, wait, Chris, I want to know if you're an avatar when you're in the metaverse, what's it going to be?
Oh man, that's a tough one. Let's see here. Jeez, I don't know. Minotaur would be good. You know, I was thinking the Hulk, you know, the sun's going down, big guy, like maybe the Manticore, you know, the logo.
Good one, man. All right, Maria, some parting last words. You're last here to tell our listeners some good advice, and you can say whatever you want, really. And we want to know your avatar as well.
I don't even know what that is. Like, I don't do metaverse or any of that stuff. I have been trying to convince Chris to go to conferences. So if, I don't know, people email him, I don't know his email off the top of my head, but tell him to come. I think he would do great. It'd be fun.
Well, Chris is real. I do have a photo with him at one conference. He is a real, he is human, right? I've seen him. Yeah.
But I think he needs to go.
I'm peer pressured here. And Bob's been hitting me up for—
I'll throw you guys a birthday party. So fun fact, Jason and Chris have the same birthday.
What?
Different year, but same birth date.
Don't tell me it's February 29th. That'd be weird.
That would be weird. Yeah. We would be like 8 years old each. Yeah.
I stalk them. So.
What, when is it? When is your guy's birthday?
January 27th.
January 27th. Yeah.
Well, I'm January 29th. Guys, we're close.
See, look at that.
And I don't know if you guys knew this, but I share a birthday with my twin brother as well.
No. Right. What are the chances?
You know, I actually had people ask me, like, they would know we're twins, like, when's your birthday? And then I ask a real question, when's Brad's birthday? I'm like, are you some sort of fucking idiot? Like,
are you messing with me?
You guys could be a day apart. I mean, technically.
That's true. I do know twins that are 2 days apart. That was rough. But,
That's, oh God, I feel for that woman. we didn't address exclusivity. I'm kind of bummed. Can we use the last four minutes to address it? Okay, so another thing I think everyone should know, and Jason and Chris, I know, agree with me. If an agency knows what they're doing, they're not going to give you exclusivity because that's only going to inhibit your own growth. Because the moment you're dominating Orlando and you want to go to Jacksonville, what if now we're exclusive in Jacksonville? We can't take you there. We can't do that. Companies that can't do what we do, yeah, they'll give you exclusivity because they already factor in that they're going to have churn with you in 12 months anyways. Sorry, it had to be said.
So what does that mean by exclusivity when a client comes to you and says, we want you to be exclusive in Los Angeles or Houston.
Work with another. Basically, they're saying only work with us.
It's been a condition that's brought about by radio and television, right? But radio and television already own the distribution. So they can actually do that and give an exclusive market. You know, there are different ways around it, right? You could do like an arch rival if you just hate somebody's guts, right? You know, hey, don't work with this guy. You know, there are different ways to do it. But in general, Yeah, and we did, I know Maria and LawRank did a data study on proximity and local results. And now it's even smaller since the vicinity update. But like after a mile, you start to lose favor in the local map pack. Now, prominence in your brand can factor into that. But it's really difficult from an SEO perspective to give exclusivity.
And I'll just comment. And I think, you know, all of us, when we first started, right, we were probably like, oh, exclusivity, right? Because that's a differentiator, right, from everybody else in the market. And so I think we all even have some contracts that might kind of like, we're still like, right. But the problem with that, as we learn over time, is when you do have a client that is ranking very well and they want to get more aggressive and they move into another market that you already have exclusivity in with a different attorney, right? And it's like, hold on, I really can't work on this section of your website. You know, so it creates problems like that. But the other thing is, which I've learned, is when you have a website like the firm that we were talking about, Bob, earlier, you know, the one that's kind of ranking everywhere nationally. When you have a firm like that, that's like completely crushing it from an SEO perspective, they start ranking for FAQs nationally, right? And so if they're ranking nationally and you know, and then you have like a company that's like, or they don't have to be national. They could just be a local firm that's ranking nationally for FAQs. But if you have another client in the market like that, now you're in breach, right? Because Google, you don't determine where Google's going to place content, right? So now it's a liability for us, right? So, but I think we all learned this over the years, right? And so now our stance is a little different on it.
I got two more things, and I know we were really passionate and we got to shut this down really quick, but the other thing about exclusivity is it should accompany a long-term agreement. If it's a month-to-month contract, you're not truly exclusive, right? You got a 30-day out. There's no long-term partnership. So, you know, I've seen some other provisions like only for the headquarters and things like that to kind of help with the expansion thing, but I think in general, it's just not a good...
We won't touch it. I don't think we'll tell. Yeah.
Well, I signed an exclusivity agreement to 2010 with my wife. It seems to be going really well. It's my outside of like law. I'm just known as Christine Bullock's husband. So, you know, that's fun. But anyways, everybody, thanks for coming on. Reach out to everybody on social media. I've always been just so enthralled with everybody's willingness to get back to one another. Like I slide into everybody's DMs here. We could, you know, go back and forth and really try to help each other out. But I hope to see everybody in person sooner than later at conferences. And Chris, I will make sure you actually exist one day with that photo, right? Then I'll wear your Bigfoot t-shirt, okay?
Thanks, guys.
See you in Kentucky, my brother. So everybody, thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Justice Team Podcast. And if you do want to sponsor, if anybody wants to go out and sponsor like Chick-fil-A or White Castle, actually White Castle has been commenting on my page because of the Bourbon Approved Tour because we're doing White Castle. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a free hamburger out of this. I don't know. A little one. It'd be cool. All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.